The Work for the Dole scheme is about to get a whole lot bigger. The changes that the federal government's making to it, well, they're a bit complicated and they are specific depending on your age. But in essence, for some, the number of hours you'll spend working for the dole will increase. For others, the type of work you do as part of the program will change. Now, this is the first in a two-part special we're doing here in Life Matters, where we're taking a close look at Work for the Dole. What are its pluses and minuses? This time round, our focus is on the experiences of those who are unemployed. Next time, it'll be from an industry and government point of view. Jeremy Poxon is from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Yes, it's a thing. He's also done a Work for the Dole program himself. G'day, Jeremy.
G'day, Amanda. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. Now, look, for anyone who's not familiar with it, can you explain how the Work for the Dole program operates?
Absolutely. So when you become unemployed, which I did a few years ago, you sign on to your New Start, your job seeker payment, entitlement. You get taken into, transferred to a job agency in your area, and that's where you sit down at the table with your job seeker, who sort of tells you about all the mutual obligation hours that you have to rack up, essentially to justify your lowly New Start payment. And one of those activities is Work for the Dole, which is a labour program for
what
job
did
seekers.
You do?
So I worked in the back of an op shop for 50 hours a fortnight. I had no real choice in the activity. They told me I had to do, and no real indication how what I was doing there was going to help me get the kind of work I wanted. So I was at the back of an op shop sweeping floors, sorting through dirty clothes, that kind of thing.
Right. So. After you, as you're saying, after you've been to Centrelink, you then go to a job agency. So they manage this. Tell me more about what they do.
Yes,
yeah, so how, the relationship between them and then and your sort of host.
Yes, so you walk into the job agency, and the first thing they'll do is they'll put a job plan, what's called a job plan sheet, in front of you for you to sign, and basically, you know, say like, look, this is a contract. If you're a job seeker, like I was under 30, you have to sign on for, you know, 50 hours a fortnight of mutual obligation. That's your obligation to develop your skills, you know, find work, that kind of thing. You sign that off. That'll lead you to potentially doing work for the dole to meet those requirements. And really from there, the job agency doesn't have that much to do with the program. They're sort of fed information by your work for the dole host.
But they're a private enterprise who are paid to do this liaison.
That's right, and they get bonuses for placing you in the program, and more thousands of dollars worth of bonuses once you complete your Work for the Dole program. Sadly, as a Work for the Dole participant, all I got was $10.40 extra a week for doing 25 hours of free labour in the back of an op shop.
All right. Well, Jeremy, look, I'll come back to you, but let's hear now from Belinda, who's a woman in her 50s. She lives with her mum in Scarborough. It's a suburb in Brisbane. Belinda's getting an unemployed benefit, and she's done this audio diary where she recorded her day-to-day experiences of being unemployed and working for the dole.
So tomorrow I'm going to go in for my new Work for the Dole scheme. It's at a church. And I'll be doing admin and a little bit of gardening, they said, so it should be quite nice and I'm looking forward to it.
13th of June today. What we're doing is hospitality work. We're at a church. We've got, I think it's 13 people there. About 10 of them are doing 25 hours a week, and we have to set up for their functions. Some of their functions are for Weight Watchers. I guess the church is renting the room out. There's some swish function tonight. We dusted the plastic champagne glasses for. It's all a bit of a disappointment, really. I don't think how dusting plastic champagne glasses would give me the PowerPoint skills and updated computer skills that I need to get back into teaching, which is what I'm trained for. Me? How do I feel? Crushed. But I'm just going to watch The Bold and Beautiful and then I'll be good. Okay. So I'm a teacher of English as a second language. I've been offshore for over 10 years and when I came back, I found that the industry has changed. People are using PowerPoints and a lot more technology, which I'm not up with. And I've been going into these colleges and as soon as they say, can you do a PowerPoint? And I say, no, that's kind of the end of it. I thought that would mean that I could just flick over and be a teacher's aide at a school or even just work at the local chemist putting pieces of soap on, you know, on rows or something like that. But I'm very surprised that I'm in this situation now. You go into the library because I don't have a computer and you just, every job you see, you just write a cover letter, send out your CV. And you do it again and again and again, the same thing. You know that you're probably not going to get a reply. So it's quite demoralising.
So one of the things that's changed since I've been away in the teaching industry is that a lot of the stuff is done through PowerPoint and on computers, and I've actually had no training in that. So one of the things I asked my job agency was if they could provide me with any training, and the response was they weren't really interested in what I needed. So that's the really unfortunate thing about my situation, is that I've got 2 degrees and a teaching certificate and I've got over 20 years of experience. I can go in the old-fashioned way using a whiteboard and a textbook, but I can't update my skills. I've been looking at TAFE and nothing is quite right. I could also go into migrant teaching. That's a whole new course in itself, but I can't afford it at this point. So I'm pretty disappointed actually with the system.
It's the 19th of July.
I do get the odd job interview. I haven't had one for about 7 months, and I send my CV out to lots of colleges. I've been in this situation for 2.5 years, and I was pretty sure when I came back from overseas that I'd get a job within 3 months. I thought 3 months max, so it's kind of disappointing. What I do is I do a lot of volunteer work around, so I do a lot of gardening, and if there's old people, neighbours, and they need stuff done, I'll just go and do it for them because they need it and I've got the time. So I spend a lot of time at the library, I read a lot, and I watch the news, and compared to people in war zones, I've got nothing to complain about, and the $250 a week, I can just get by on that. But the thing that I'm really worried about is my future. When I look at women who retire, which would be my next step, with pretty much zero savings, I mean, it's really not what I want to be doing as 65 years old and living in a share house. So I want to work because I want to work, but I want to work because I want to get savings so I can actually secure accommodation, which I don't have at the moment. So here I am. I'm on the street. Outside, a really nice house. And this place, they have
plants from when the dinosaurs were around. So I'm just checking to see if the seeds are ready, but they're not. They're amazing plants. I go into the local parks and I collect the native seeds. That's one thing that I do really care about. And I don't really have land, so I've been up into the local hairdressers and I said to them, you know, do you have customers that have land, and do you yourselves have land? And they do, and a few of the local shop keepers, I've actually gone to their houses and planted their gardens for them for free. I feel the government gives me this $2.50 a week, and I have a sense of obligation to do something for that, so I've been doing that. Thursday the 26th of July. My first work for the dole job was at an op shop in Deception Bay. It was a disaster. I went in, it was an op shop, and it was sorting out the back, and then we'd be in the shop front and getting clothes and putting them on shelves, and I felt like I'd joined an underclass. It's a shed which has been turned into a shop. You've got one manager a day, you've got volunteers, and then you've got the work for the dole people. So the manager tells you what to do. I was just getting yelled at constantly. The other thing that happened there was I got grabbed by one of the customers, and then I just yelled at him, "Don't touch me." And he didn't. He stepped back and just said, "Oh, well, you know, honey, if you want to come out this Saturday night, just let us know." Anyway, I went up to the supervisor and I said, "This guy, he grabbed me, like he wrapped himself around me." And she just went, "Oh, like, kind of get out of the shop front. It's a bit embarrassing having you here," kind of thing. And, "Well, tomorrow you're going to come back to the shop and he's the customer and you're the work for the dole person, and that's the way it is," kind of thing. August 24th, I'm at home. I'm with my mum, who I live with and who pays all the bills while I just kind of loaf around. And we're waiting for The Bold and the Beautiful because that's what we do.
Well, it comes at a good time in the afternoon because I've usually poured myself a glass of red wine, and that helps the enjoyment of the program. It's very slow moving, so you don't really have to watch every day. If you miss out one or two or 3 days, it doesn't really matter at all. But there's plenty of excitement in it.
We've got breaking news on at the moment. We're a bit concerned. It's going to take up the time of The Bold and the Beautiful. What's going on?
Scott Morrison, new Prime Minister.
Is there any prospect of Tony Abbott joining in?
Look, all of these
are going... It's unbelievable. He's on all the other channels too. Oh, come on.
Probably get to pop in and see Mum and Dad while I'm over there. Yeah.
You want me to stay?
I don't know if you realise, but you made a big impression on the runway. People are still talking about it.
We lost 5 minutes of it, but we got it back.
Wait, Steffi.
Friday, 31st of August. We're working at a church, and it's a charity, and you would think or hope that being a church, that they would be charitable towards us. Some of the people have clearly got drug problems. You would think that the church would have an interest in that, but no, they don't. One girl left early the other day because she was hanging out for drugs, and what happened with that was she owes them more time, so they just have to do the work, and the work that's provided to us is not what we agreed to. I mean, what I thought I'd agreed to was a training program, and I said directly to my manager, Angela, I don't know how cleaning a bathroom is going to help me get a job because I've got 2 degrees, a teaching certificate, and I just want to get back into teaching. But it's like, just don't talk about that. It's more like, didn't you miss that bit? And there was a tiny little ledge on top of the tiles that I missed. And she said, oh, you better go back over that with a cloth. So I did that. It could be so much better if they cared. I can see how it's easy to give up on work for the dole. That's what people do. Some of them walk off the job, and after they walk off the job, they get in such huge trouble, they lose the dole, and then they become homeless. I can see how that happens.
Life as a Work for the Dole participant, that's Belinda. And this is the first of a two-part series here in Life Matters into Work for the Dole, with a focus in this part on being unemployed. And if you've got experience of this too, you can let us know on Facebook. It's Amanda Smith with you, along with Jeremy Poxon from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Jeremy, on the face of it, the answer to Belinda's skills problem seems quite simple, really. She just needs computer literacy to be able to work as a teacher. Seems surprising that she wouldn't have been offered a computer course by the job network provider.
That's the tragic thing about her story, isn't it? Because here's a case of a person so enthusiastic to get back into the workforce with all the skills there and with the very obvious need that she obviously articulated to her job agent as well. I feel like the broader problem here is that Belinda couldn't self-direct or co-design her own job plan. Basically, what seems to have ended up happening there is she just had to do whatever her job agent thought was best. So,
Jeremy, how many people do actually get a job out of doing work for the dole? Did you?
I did not. I finished my 6 months and went back into the system, and then I found myself my own casual work without any help from that experience or my job agent. The data is really grim on work for the dole. There was a University of Melbourne study done that sort of concluded that about 2% of people like Belinda and myself who complete the 6 month work for the dole program end up with a real secure job at 2%. The other end of it. It's 2%, yeah. Mm-hmm. So 98% of us aren't.
Okay, so, you know, there are obviously concerns that you have about the scheme. What about other things? I'm wondering about workplace safety, for example. That didn't really come up in Belinda's audio diary, but what are the safety statistics?
Yeah, so according to a government commissioned report by Ernst & Young in 2016, basically found that 64% of the work for the dole sites they studied didn't comply to standard workplace health and safety.
The federal government, though, the Department for Jobs and Small Business, say that work for the dole programs have lower injury rates than other workplaces, and that Ernst & Young study has been misinterpreted.
I would contest that by saying work for the dole sites have the lowest reported rates of injury. So I'm sure it sounds like Belinda was discouraged from reporting her incident at a work for the dole site. And I know talking
this was
to
the harassment,
the sexual harassment she received. And I know talking to a lot of job seekers, you know, because we through the union hear stories of job seekers being injured on work for the dole sites and basically told by their supervisors not to complain. So in response to the government saying that, I'd say this is a very vulnerable group of job seekers who aren't reporting the unsafe conditions and the injuries that they're sustaining on these sites.
Well, the most serious accident on a Work for the Dole program that's happened was back in 2016. A teenager was killed, Josh Park Fing. Fing. How did he die?
So Josh was working, he's a very young man, 18-year-old, working in Toowoomba at the Toowoomba Showgrounds to perform his Work for the Dole activity. Josh was standing on a flatbed trailer on the showgrounds, getting getting driven along. Something happened. It hit a bump. He fell off, and sadly, he was killed at his work for the Dole site.
All right. Well, what changes, Jeremy, do you at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union want to see in relation to Work for the Dole programs? I mean, the federal government's got some changes coming in soon. What do you want to see?
Well, the federal government's changes are basically steaming ahead as if there's no problem with the scheme. As you mentioned in your intro, they're looking to significantly expand the scheme and expand it for older job seekers like Belinda, which we think is dangerous. At the bare minimum, we think this system needs more regulation, oversight. If so many sites have been found unsafe, if so many cases of harassment, injury are being left unreported, you have a silently suffering unemployed workforce of about 90,000 people who just aren't being looked after by their job agent, by their Work for the Dole host. So ultimately, we think the government would be better off scrapping it because it puts people, job seekers like Belinda, through turmoil, all for the good of a 2% success rate. But at the very least...
Do you think any sort of Work for the Dole scheme can work?
If it guarantees job seeker safety and if it pays them a minimum wage, I would suggest such a scheme could work. At the moment, you're doing 25 hours a week of labour. That's still leaving you about $380 per fortnight below the poverty line, and it's really just not good enough.
Jeremy Poxon is from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And like Belinda, who we heard from, he's been a participant in the Work for the Dole scheme. Jeremy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And in part two of this story for Life Matters, we're going to delve further into the scheme, seek a response to from government and from the industries that manage these programs. And we'll find out about the changes to the Work for the Dole program that are happening, the stronger participation requirements that are set to kick in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, if you've got experience too of being on the Work for the Dole program, maybe it reflects what we heard from Belinda and Jeremy, maybe very different, maybe you've had a much more positive experience, let's know. Tell us about it on Facebook.